Welcome into a very special Husker Max today, as we are joined with new voice of the Huskers, Kyle Crooks. And Kyle, you've had a couple of nights of sleep since this the news broke that it came out. And then you talked on Sports Nightly. You've talked on some local affiliates. Shout out KLIN. And you're going around doing the media circuit. How does it sound for you now hearing voice of the Huskers, Kyle Crooks?
Yeah, I said it yesterday and I think the day before. I don't think I've wrapped my mind around this yet. And you mentioned that you've had a couple of nights of sleep. I don't know if I've really slept the last 48 hours. It's been an outpouring of support. And man, I'm just so grateful for how nice everybody has been. And I've said this a bunch. This is a very tough situation. Greg, the best case scenario is Greg is getting set to call his 18th season of Husker football. And it was incredibly sad. He is forever going to be the voice of the Huskers. And there's a reason that his name is on the booth, because he meant so much to so many people internally in the athletic department, externally, of course, to the fan base. And much like me, he was somebody who came from the outside and came in and integrated himself to becoming a Husker and a passionate one. And, you know, for them, for the fan base, ever since this has come out, for them to be accepting of another outsider and taking them in as one of their own has been pretty eye-opening. And this whole thing is, you know, I think in a week it'll take maybe to soak in and realize what's on the horizon and what that title is. But boy, I'm really excited.
Yeah, starting there with Greg, I was talking with my good friend Jack Mitchell at KLIN, who you talked with yesterday, and I said it's going to be interesting because you're my age. So I'm not talking to people who are even 3, 4, 5 years older, let alone you get into Matt Coatney and Kent Pavelka's and John Baylor. And we'll call Nate Rohr pretty old too. But the Huskers Radio Network and everyone that is there. And you're right smack dab in the middle with me and the millennial generation. And it can be intimidating as we've grown up in the world that we've grown up in, Kyle, in that sometimes people are looking for a lot of experience and things, and we just haven't had opportunities for it, let alone a position that has been Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, and the scenario that it's coming into with the passing of Greg Sharp and his name being on the booth. For you as a mid-30s guy, seeing that position officially be posted and going through this whole process, what has that been like for you mentally, in the aspect of not being too intimidated but also saying that you believe you can rise to that challenge?
Yeah, it's a great question, and certainly one that I've wrestled with. And when it first comes out, the first thing that you have to realize is you understand what you're going to step into if you get the job. And maybe you don't fully understand until you're in it and you're calling games and you're around the environment. You know, the one thing that around college athletics, really, and broadcasting jobs for the most part, you're probably going to replace somebody that's been there 30, 40 years. Like, really high level broadcasting jobs are very similar to Supreme Court justices. You just don't leave. So you're probably going to step in for somebody who was loved. You're probably going to step in for somebody who was at the top of their craft. So all those things factor in. When you understand you want to get into broadcasting, that you have to have some sort of thick skin, that you are now entering a realm where people are going to have opinions, whether they know you or not, they know your work or not. People are going to come from the clouds and they're going to say this and say that. You have to be able to deal with all of that. The one thing that it's been in my control, Caleb, in my 15 years doing this, is getting better and finding opportunities. So I've done everything, football specifically, Division III, high school, and I've done the college football game of the week on national radio. And I've spent the last 8 years, and I've told this story, calling games in an empty booth for just about every Florida home football game with an analyst. Florida Communications is they knew my ambitions. They knew what I wanted to do, and they would set aside a booth or a spot on two spots on press row, understanding that I was obsessed with the craft. I was obsessed with getting that opportunity to call football at a premier blue blood power football program. And, you know, kudos to them for, you know, foreseeing what I was trying to do and what I was trying to accomplish. So for me, it was more about, okay, what can I control? And that's checking off every single box off the list of what a voice has to do, going out in the community, dealing with behind the scenes sort of director of broadcasting type of, you know, things that you would have to knock off checklist, and then calling football, right? The one big thing that people are going to say is he's not a sitting Division One football voice, and he's only done this and he's only done that. But people don't necessarily see the work behind the scenes. Like, this has been a cut, copy, paste, like hours and hours and hours and days worth of football tape that I've put together over 8 years of this works, this doesn't work, this in my prep works, this doesn't work. I got a stack of spotting charts, football spotting charts behind me from seasons worth of Florida football, just calling games and making mistakes and doing things and getting better. So, yeah, it's there's a lot that you have to embrace, and there's a lot that you understand that goes into that leads up to an opportunity like this.
I had some people reach out to me because we had my buddy Josh Peterson had posted a story last week, and obviously we did the official announcement this week, but we made sure to embed a couple of your calls from your resume, from your Weebly site. And they said, well, why didn't you list that he did Florida football last year? And so then in the industry, I have to explain what a demo is, and I have to explain what doing some of that other work is. But let me tell you this, Kyle, as I told them, this might be the thing that I'm most impressed with you coming in, is that you did the stay ready so you don't have to get ready, so that when an opportunity came up, you had everything. You didn't have to go back and put an old game on and go through and fake it. Like, you were doing those games, and that's so impressive. And obviously that, like you said, that was probably one of the biggest hurdles coming in, is explaining that part of your resume and beating out 300 applicants to become the voice of the Huskers for Football and Sports Nightly on the Huskers Radio Network.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that, like you said, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And man, when I tell you, from 2017 on, prior to doing the other stuff and doing it in college, like, it's been a burning passion of mine. And I can remember, I think the clip that you posted was the LSU game. Mm-hmm. That I had done last year, and that was the day that I had done a Florida Miami women's basketball SEC network game. So I literally went from in my suit, ran over to the swamp to make sure my booth was set up to then get ready to call that game for a game that somebody may or may not ever hear. Like, that's been my existence for 8 years, and I credit to one of the guys that I had worked with, Steve Russell, who is the dean of sports talk here in Gainesville. He's the analyst that you hear on those tapes, and he volunteered so much time for me and so many football Saturdays. He broadcasted the equivalent of Big Red Reaction for Florida football. He would do the call-in show after the network post-game show, and he helped me out so much, and so many other people. And you know, it's funny, I had other broadcasters in the industry, and you know, people around Florida continue to ask me, like, hey man, why are you doing this? Like, are you okay? Like, why are you putting so much in so much prep? Like, when I tell you hours and hours of prep was going into a game that not a cent was being sent my way for years, it pays off, right? It's the only reason. It's one of the many reasons why I got a chance to slice through, you know, so many applicants, and that name kind of popped a little bit more because the tape popped enough. And that's 15 years, man, of really going at it and trying to get better.
are you okay is such a common question for the nuts in the broadcasting industry.
Why are you doing this?
Yes.
Why are you and an analyst in an empty room somewhere? And what's funny too is, so Miami was the first game that Florida had this past year. They didn't have booth space for me. So it was, they had Spanish radio in Miami, they had student radio, so they just had no place to put me. So I went to the SEC Network studios on campus and I called it from the control room. They fed in the crowd noise and me and my analysts sat in the director chair. He sat where the producer would sit and we called it off of multiple monitors because I did not want to let that Saturday go by without me having done something productive towards this. And so I remember the first game this past year, I sat in the SEC Network control room. And that's what I did during COVID too. So like when they,
I was going to say, that sounds very 2020 for the way all the game, a lot of games were done.
So they wouldn't let like a lot of people in the stadium. So they set me up in what was our SEC Network interview room when coaches would come through, do the car wash and you'd have the camera on the wall. Like they'd set me up with the monitor, with my crowd feed, with the ref mic feed. And during that season, I was exclusively calling games off of television on every Saturday. So kudos to Florida for really stepping up in that regard.
So obviously that's the football part. That's going to be a very big part of this. Sports Nightly, which I believe July 7th, you'll be rolling on to Sports Nightly.
No, I'll be part-time to start. I think they want to kind of let me settle in. I think August I'll be full-time on the show. Okay. I'll be on July 7th.
And then you brought up women's basketball. For those that don't know, obviously this is football, and Sports Nightly is the main aspect here, but you have a wide variety of sports background that you've called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been the women's basketball guy here. I've been the main fill in on men's basketball here, and what a thrill to get a chance to do those games for this men's team this year. That is the best team I've ever been around and seen. And, you know, getting a chance to work with Todd Golden and Kelly Ray Finley on the women's side. So, along with football, which again, we've kind of outlined how much of that I've done. Basketball is, you know, I've done a lot of that, but also I did a lot of softball here and I have a passion for that sport. It's very big here at Florida. Like they love softball, as a really good built-in radio listenership. And with that also, I've done a lot of baseball here with the Gators. And I'd say probably towards the end, it was a 60-40% split. So it was 60% radio, 40% television. I got a chance to do a lot of television games, did some gymnastics as well, did a lot of soccer. My first Florida broadcast was six stories up at Lane Kiffin's old building at FAU. And I was doing games through these binoculars and I was calling soccer on the radio for the first time, didn't know a whole lot about the sport. And that was my first experience with the Gators, was calling my first soccer game essentially from like the clouds, Florida and FAU. So I've been lucky enough and grateful enough to do just about everything.
So what does that mean for you and Lincoln? Is that if somebody is sick or needs a weekend off, you're the main fill-in, or has anyone talked about what your roles are beyond Sports Nightly and football?
Yeah, so I think that's probably the case here. I think, you know, when it comes especially to baseball, I know Nick and Ben, they are the main guys on baseball. Like if they need a, because they work their full-time opportunities outside of broadcasting, if there's an opportunity to slip in and maybe do a game here or there with those guys. And but football and Sports Nightly, and along with the director of broadcasting, opportunities that have been out, you know, that I have to do behind the scenes, all that stuff is on the table for me to focus on. And whenever anybody needs a fill in, I'm sure I'll have the opportunity to maybe step in.
All the cool video stuff we see Jessica Cootie do, it goes on to social media and YouTube, and it's really, really well done to see the way the Huskers radio network has grown. Have you had a chance to talk to many of the other Huskers radio network guys? Obviously Kent and Matt in basketball, John Baylor for volleyball, and you mentioned Nick and Ben for baseball, and our buddy Nate Rohr for softball. This is a really good lineup, and I've told people, and I continue to hammer at home, we've been very spoiled to listen to broadcasts of Husker games on the Huskers radio network. For you stepping into that, one, have you had a chance to chat with any of those guys? But also, walking into a really, really good lineup of a cast of characters talking to Husker Nation.
Yeah, it's been cool. And doing the research, how many sports are actually broadcast here in Nebraska? Like, right, like volleyball is this massive radio network, softball is on the network, baseball is on the network, men's and women's basketball are on the network. Like, that's not normal. You know, that just means people care, and it's a next level sort of appreciation that I have from a radio nerd. But I haven't had the chance to catch up with Kent yet. Look forward to doing that hopefully soon, and John Baylor as well, and look forward to meeting him and listening to his broadcast and getting a chance to sit in and watch my first volleyball match in Nebraska, which should be an experience. I know the waiting list for season tickets is a couple years long. Like, it's the real deal over there. So I look forward to that. And I talked to Nick briefly. Ben was a part of the interview process. He's like a DB, is Damon Benning, and said he's the muscle of the broadcast. So he's like the straight face guy and wants to get down to brass tacks. But he sent me a really nice text message a couple of days ago, and look forward to chatting with him more. But he was a part of the process, and I've got a chance to talk a lot with Damon and a lot with Jessica. And I think Jess is probably one of the hardest workers in this industry. Like, the amount of stuff that she is doing that people don't see, not just the on-air stuff, but the amount of editing and social media work and all this stuff that makes this engine go as Husker Radio. Like, she's behind all of it. And I look forward to coming in and first of all, taking some of the workload away from her and helping out with some of the social media tasks and million things that she's doing. She's probably done like three interviews already of like coaches and athletes, but like, I'm so impressed with her and her work ethic. And I can't wait to work with her and everybody. And yeah. Nate as well. You mentioned Nate, like Nate's followed. We've kind of had a mutual following on Twitter. We're both softball guys, and, you know, got a chance to listen to him call softball in the super regionals. And, you know, was hoping, knowing this could have been a possibility, I was hoping that they were going to get to the World Series this year.
Not just because they were playing Tennessee, right?
Yeah, probably multiple reasons why I was hoping there. But Florida actually went to the World Series this year too, so I was hoping to see Nate in person and watch Jordy ball in person. But unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Well, you'll get to see Jordy play this next year as she comes back, and there's definitely Women's College World Series hopes for that team. There's a lot of upswing for programs in Husker athletics, and when we'll find out the Director's Cup standings, but Nebraska is going to have perhaps their best year since joining the Big Ten. So since 20, at least the 2009-2010 season, I believe, is the last time Nebraska finished top 20 in that. Volleyball, like you said, the attendance is nuts. You're just a couple of years missing the 92,000 people in Memorial Stadium, which was crazy, which was bonkers. And I know, like, that's not normal. And I know what the Huskers radio network does here, it's not the norm. But we're really excited I'm excited to listen to you. I'm excited to hear what you bring. Last question is, as you went through this process, obviously you learn more about the university, you learn more about the Husker programs. Prior to this, what did you know about Nebraska? Not just the football team and the university, but the state as a whole, because the answers we get on anything that's Nebraska related, College World Series time, there are a lot of people who don't know where the heck Nebraska even is from time to time.
Yeah, it's, I think growing up watching the College World Series and seeing that in Omaha, but also understanding that aura and the history behind, like, knowing the 90s Nebraska teams, and like, this was the powerhouse of college football. So knowing that, and, you know, being a Gator for as long as I have, and knowing the 62-24 national championship win over Florida. So knowing that, and just knowing the history of it, but always turning on a Nebraska game, mm-hmm. no matter what kind of season that they've had, and just seeing there's never been I don't think I've ever seen an empty seat at Memorial Stadium. Like, that was always my thought coming in, like, before I got enveloped in this process. Like, and then was it 2023, that volleyball match that you mentioned? Like, I watched that whole thing because it's a novelty, and I could not believe what I was watching. Like, when they ran out of the tunnel and there was, it was like a Husker football game day, and how small the volleyball court was to the entire landscape of this massive building. And people didn't even care that they probably couldn't even see what was going on. They just wanted to be a part of this history. And to me, the passion that I, that is always stuck in my mind, was watching that on the Big Ten Network and just seeing like, wow, this is truly a passionate place.
I was two rows deep from the net from that court. It was nuts in there. And as you probably know, sometimes it's hard in the jobs that we do, like working from home and my daughter walking in here right now, is taking in the environment. There are times that you just have to sit back and take it in. And I hope, obviously, you'll be at Arrowhead for that first game, but I hope that there's a point during the game when Nebraska has that first home game that you're able to sit back and breathe and just take it in, not just for what the environment is at the University of Nebraska Memorial Stadium, but for the role you've stepped into. And like you said, it's one of those like jobs that don't come open often. And when you get an opportunity to take them, obviously you've seized on the opportunity. I'm super thankful for you jumping on, chatting with me, chatting with the affiliates. I'll always shout out the affiliates because I remember what it's like to be one. But really looking forward to listening to you on Sports Nightly. And then as the football season comes along and following where everything else goes with you and the Huskers Radio Network, Kyle, thanks so much.
Yeah, I'm thankful that you had me, Caleb, and always anytime. And I'm going to take your advice and try to soak it all in. I don't know how good I'm going to be on August 28th, but I'm going to try to soak it all in. And it's, I'm just starting to realize truly what this means. Like, you know, but again, you don't know until you know. So I'm continuing to wrap my mind around it all. And I'm really excited for the future here and grateful for you having me on.
That's Kyle Crooks, voice of the Huskers for Sports Nightly and football and everything else as he grows into this position. Kyle, thanks so much. And everyone else, you can find everything you need at huskermax.com.